So evolving real-world ASCII-DOC into a specification and how it will help the ecosystem. Welcome to this talk here at the Tool the Doc Dev Room at FOSDEM. My name is Alexander Schwartz and I'm a principal software developer. As I said, I'm a Keycloak developer, and at spare time I'm working in the docs community, mostly around ASCII-DOC. So this is the agenda for the next 20-something minutes. I talk about the motivation, why we write docs, and what tools we want to use for that, a little bit of a workflow, and how we want to connect all the things and automate all the things when it comes to documentation, and then dive a bit deeper into the ASCII-DOC brand and language documentation, something that the ASCII-DOC working group has been working on over the past years. I'm happy to take questions. Also, in the middle, just raise a hand and I will ask a question. I will repeat it if I don't forget it. And then we will have a more interactive session in this one. What's the mission? The mission is, well, getting the docs out to the readers. We don't write them for ourselves. And that's a tool process happening to really get the docs out, right? So you have authors that focus on the content, they focus on the structure, well, lots of typing involved, but also a lot more reading around involved here. And these authors, then there's going to be a process that converts the documentation maybe to HTML, maybe to PDFs, maybe to an online documentation system that you have in place. And then it's published, the readers read it. You really want to educate the users. You want to provide them answers to their questions. This usual thing about concepts and reference guides and how-tos, all of that, you want to publish that and be read by people out there. And maybe artificial intelligence reads them as well. This workflow about authoring, converting, and publish, let's dive a bit deeper into that and see what ASCII-DOC can do to that and what ASCII-DOC actually is. I'm not introduced it in this talk yet. So when there are authors, they write some documentation, they validate the changes. In Lorna's talk, we saw how you can use command line tools for that to validate that. Maybe you even have a parser for either your Markdown or ASCII-DOC language. Other people review it. Maybe you have automatic things like Veil to review it. And there's lots of tools that you can use for that. You maybe have a simple editor. Maybe you have a full-fledged IDE. Maybe you have a browser, maybe a command line interface. So all these things need to work together very, very well for an author. And it might then depend on the language you're using and the tools you're using, how good they actually interact with each other. So I'm a daytime developer, a documentarian at night, but this is an IntelliJ screenshot. And that's an IntelliJ IDE with an ASCII-DOC plugin installed. And as I said earlier, I'm the maintainer of the ASCII-DOC plugin, so I'm bragging a bit about it, but hopefully not too much. So when you're writing in an IDE, you will have a tree outline on the left that will show you all the folders and files, and you can browse through it. You will have an editor with some syntax highlighting here, and you will have some coloring. You can fold things. It's all hopefully working very nicely for you. And on the right, you have writing without abstraction, syntax highlighting, auto-completion, grammar and check style. So you can really, if you miss a word in an English sentence, it will point you with a little red line under it. You might have been missing a word here. For me, being not a native English speaker, that's very, very helpful. And on the right, you will see then usually a preview of the documentation you're currently writing. So, and this will navigate together with the text that you're writing. You can also style the preview to that it really looks like the real website. So the magic behind that is CSS. So if you have the CSS of your website, you can also use the same CSS to style your preview in your IDE. So it can get as nice as that. Then you have version control. When you are into documentation as code, you can really collaborate with all the other people in the project, with other people writing documentation, with other people writing code, and ask them maybe to review something you've just written, or have them, or maybe rewrite what they have written. So, and this is then maybe good time for a short demo, maybe I have the time. So this is the ASCII-DOC plugin for IntelliJ, its own project, so we eat our own dog food. So we are writing our documentation in ASCII-Doc. So I can go through here, I can do some folding, I can do like everything you would usually do with code. I can jump from one page to another. I go here and it will then update a preview. I have images here. When I click on a preview, the editor will jump to the right line. So it's a full-fledged IDE to write documentation as code with ASCII-Doc. On the other side, I also know it might be a bit overwhelming. People might want to use tools that are smaller with less functionality, and that's not so overwhelming, but that's a choice that you have. Okay, but that's like the full-fledged IDE. And when I built this tool on the right here to generate this preview, I was integrating ASCII-Doc, being a tool that can render ASCII-Doc to HTML. On the left, I was set up with the task and the challenge to do an ASCII-Doc parser, to do the highlighting of the syntax, to do the folding, to do the auto-completion, all that. I needed to write that on my own, or enhance what others have been writing before me when I took over the plugin as a maintainer. And so, yeah, so we have kind of two implementations from ASCII-Doc, one implementation that works for syntax highlighting and auto-completion, another implementation here that generates a preview. And in an ideal world, they will both do the same, right, and behave the same. And this is then how ASCII-Doc works like. So you start with a simple text. You have like each sentence on a separate line. Every blank line creates a new paragraph. You can do styling of words in here. You can do lists. There are numbered and unnumbered. Of course, when you put a numbered list, you wouldn't put the numbers in here because, well, it's numbered sequentially anyway. So you can skip that. And you also do the admonition stuff, like something is important, wants some tips here, you want to have an example, and depending on the outline will always be the same, like on the left in ASCII-Doc, but then you render it using a style, and then add a style sheet to it, and this is one of the default style sheets of Antora. It will look like this in a nice way. You can also do tables, you can do simple tables, or you can do tables with all the things that you usually need, like you want to have them right aligned, left aligned, top, bottom, call span, row span, whatnot. All that is part of the ASCII-Doc syntax. It's still plain text on the left that you can put in a Git repository and diff and see who changed what. And on the right, it will give you a nice table. You can also embed source code. I had an example earlier where you can put it inline, but it's even better, in my point of view, to put it in an external file. Maybe even you can reference in your examples a file that is in your real code base that is then tested using CI/CD, or maybe in your test cases. Well, you write examples, you put examples in a folder where you can run some tests on them, and then you suddenly end up with a documentation that has code samples that compile and even do the right thing because they're tested. So that's, I think, pretty awesome. So the simplest way is to put some comments, like you can include a file as I've done it here. And then you have some tags if you really want to have only this special line here, and you see this this tag equals SOP is then repeated here, and then it extracts only this one line here and prints then only this one line here, and also converts this comment here with a 1 to this one at the end, showing that it's a callout. So basically, if you ever bought a book from O'Reilly, which has some nice code in there, code examples, callouts, whatnot, all these styling can be done using ASCII-Doc and create a great documentation experience for those using the documentation of your product. So we heard about Vail before, and you can use also Vail to validate ASCII-Doc. There's a Red Hat style. I can import here, or say ignore maybe some of the styles here, and then finally point it to some ASCII-Doc content, and it will show me some warnings. For example, if I integrate everything into a Vail action with Errata AI, and then put that into my GitHub pull request checks, it will also annotate my pull request from GitHub. But behind the scenes, it's again, somebody is parsing ASCII-Doc to make sense out of what I've written here, getting out all the syntax in here and getting it back to the plain text, and then the plain text is piped into Vail to make sense out of it. Again, somebody parsing ASCII-DOC, I think the Vail is using first the conversion from ASCII-DOC to HTML and then looking at the HTML and referencing back from snippets in the HTML which line of source code is being used. Like there's a debug mode in ASCII-DOC where you can tell ASCII-DOC to put some additional notes on the HTML to reference source lines in the original ASCII-DOC. So yeah, cool stuff, but then how to parse ASCII-DOC? Everybody seems to have the same challenge here. When it comes to conversion, as an author, yeah, to actually people to read it, then you have HTML, docbook, PDF format, EPUB, lots of formats to convert to. You have lots of tools you want to use, Maven, NPM, CLI tools, and you have different implementations of the ASCII-DOC language that all read ASCII-DOC, and they produce different outputs, and they run on different runtimes. For example, the ASCII-DOC project runs on Ruby, JavaScript, and Java runtimes, so we can really or integrate it into your software projects, maybe to publish documentation inside your applications that you also publish. There's a Go implementation that's very distinct from the ASCII-DOC implementation. There's an Haskell implementation. So again, but as an author, you want to really write your ASCII-DOC content once. And independent of the tool, it should at least make the same sense out of the structure that you've written, like all the equal signs for the heading, all the example blocks, they should all be parsed by the same way. And if all the tools parse them the same way, you will have a good authoring experience. Today it's working already quite well, but as of today there's no official specification yet and we're working on that. So then how do I use then command line converters or embedding things? So a command line could be the ASCII-DOC implementation. The ASCII-DOC implementation, you pass it a file on the command line and then it will create by default HTML from the ASCII-DOC. And when you do some maybe suspicious things in there, it will give you warnings. For example, on line 2, multiple IDs detected in style attributes. So yeah, that means something. It's maybe not so self-explanatory. But you will go to line 2 and figure out what it's complaining about. So a good tool will give you warnings, and these warnings will be parsable so that the tool, an editor, for example, could point you directly to line 2 when it runs this tool maybe in the background. Maybe I hear somebody saying maybe it should be JSON, the output, but anyway. Okay. At the same
question. Yeah. When you have multiple source files,
yes,
include other files, include, how can you make sense of the line that the issue is about?
Yeah, so the question was, when I use lots of includes, how can I make sense out of the line? It will print the name of the file there as well. So it will not be the file that you pass on the command line, but it will be the file that you ended up by the include. So the final file you're in. It wouldn't give you a recursive stack of all the files, how you got there, but it will tell you in this file, after that many include steps, on that line is the problem. So yeah, that would hopefully help a bit at least. Right. Actually, when the IntelliJ plugin the ASCII-DOC plugin for IntelliJ runs ASCII-DOC in the background to do this validation, and there's a hooking mechanism where I can get all these warnings and errors, so I can mark both in the problem list of the project and in the problems of the file or some wiggly lines, so you can really have the highlighting at the right place, so that's possible there. And if there's an include, I'm also showing that this include leads to that problem, so the IDE can do that. What I'm showing here as a second example is how we are, if you go to the ASCII-DOC.org website, there's an embedded editor on the web page, like a minimal editor based on JavaScript. When you type something on the left, it will render a preview on the right. It's 100% JavaScript. It runs in your browser. It doesn't do any communication with the backend here. That makes it both very fast and very responsive for your IDE. So a lot of ways to embed it. And then you can also write extensions for it. Well, extensions are currently specific to an implementation, but you can write, for example, for the ASCII.doc implementation, you can write an extension that extends the ASCII.doc syntax. It interacts on the AST level, so you can really manipulate the text that you've been writing in a way while you are converting it, like creating one piece of ASCII.doc, mixing it around, augmentating it, removing stuff to a new version of ASCII.doc, and this is then converted. And this makes it possible that you write an extension, and the extension does not need to care about the output format, because it's only changing the AST, only changing the ASCII.doc, and the output will be reflected in both the HTML and PDF and whatnot output format. You can then publish it in the end, so you can use a static site publisher like Hugo, Antora, JBreak, Jekyll, or Eleventy. And for example, Antora being one of those that really special, while the others do a lot of markup languages and ASCII.doc, Antora is one of those that does, I'd say, only ASCII.doc. And comes with a very good opinionated ways to do it. So we're now looking here at the Antora documentation written in ASCII.doc, published by Antora. So it gives you things like static site publishing, an outline, navigation outline on the left, on the top, linking, customizable themes, site search, and also an outline of the page, page linking, redirect for page that has been named. So it's not a content management system in a true writer sense, but has a lot of features on that. If you want to set up such a tool like Antora, a little brief intro here. So you probably need an author that, or some authors that create the content in a well-defined structure. It comes out with an outline like this. For each component, you will have, in each component, you will have modules, you will have folders for attachments, examples, images. So this is a very recurring structure. And the good thing is when you worked in one Antora project and learned about the structure, it will be the same in any other project that uses Antora. If you, for example, go to other static site publishers, for example, Hugo or so, then it really depends on the theme where you put the files, and it's very custom. With Antora, it's, I'd say, opinionated in a positive way.
Sorry.
Yeah.
For a multi-language setup, what would be the best template?
Well, that's not the obvious. Well, it's not supported by Antora by itself. You would then take this structure, maybe have a translation memory, and replicate that to a structure that has maybe the module name with a language at the end, and then generate that, and then people can switch between the two the modules with the different languages, for example. So, but it's not built into Antora of itself. We'll then need to have a person who would make sure that all the automation scripts and validation and publishing works. That's the second role, and the third role will be somebody who customizes your theme. So getting your docs out to the readers, so we've seen a lot of tools working together to make that work for authors, for the conversion process and publishing. And what the ASCII.doc working group at the Eclipse Foundation has done, we first worked on establishing the brand and the language documentation so we can read up on this. So that's why you see the little R and the TM here. So it is now owned by the Eclipse Foundation to make sure that it's really that brand. Comes with a distinct recognizable brand and stickers. And stickers are at the table at the right front there. So you can read up on the guidelines here. There's also a web page. If you go to ASCII.doc.org, you will get an intro similar to the talk this I'm presenting here today. You will also see a screenshot of an IDE. IntelliJ with the ASCII.doc plugins showing the ASCII.doc documentation. It's really an inception moment if you go there. We worked on the ASCII.doc language documentation that's been written for users and human users, to say. So originally, it has its root in the ASCII.doctor community. And the ASCII.doctor community was writing documentation to document ASCII.doctor. But now it's like separated the tool from the language. So this is now the documentation about the ASCII.doc language, telling you everything you need to know in a very detailed format, more like a reference documentation, saying how to do headers, how to do document types, section, paragraphs, how that all works, to educate humans to do that. But then it's, with all the tools I've shown earlier, it's not enough to make it just work for humans. You need to also make it work for the tools to do the parsing right. And this is now where the current work is going into the ASCII.DOC language specification. It's again hosted at the Eclipse Foundation. We have several people contributing there, and we'd love to have more people in here. So it comes with, the specification is in the ASCII.DOC lang project. Well, one is then documentation, writing it in a way that it's a specification that can be read and implemented by tool developers. So as I said earlier, we want everybody to parse ASCII.DOC in the same way. And if everybody parses ASCII.DOC in the same way, it will have a great user experience. Yeah.
Is the plan in the future to move the kind of user language usage into the ASCII.DOC section rather than just under the ASCII.DOCTOR web pages? It's a bit confusing how that mixes with the implementation right now.
Yeah, so I'd say ASCII.DOCTOR is a big part of the ecosystem, so it's still a good place for it to be. Maybe it will move to another place eventually. That's a good point. I can take that with me. But there's currently not a plan for that one yet. And then with each good language specification, it comes also a technical compatibility kit. So the technology compatibility kit is basically test cases. So, let's start with the language specification first. We have, specification decision records here describing one problem at a time, getting all the input from the community, defining things in a way that we will not break existing ASCII.DOC documentation out there. So all the documentation that has been written for the last 10-something years, we don't want to break that, but we want to capture really the best practices of how to do it in this specification, and we have the discussion ongoing on the Zulip chat there. And once we come up with this is how it should look like. We come up also up with, a bit too much clicking, with a TCK to show how it should be parsed from a different implementations. Like, and this can be used by either the tool that's wanted to do some sanity checking on the ASCII.DOC. It can be used by a tool that wants to show syntax highlighting in the editor, or it can be used by the tool that wants to convert ASCII.DOC to HTML or maybe the new format that comes up soon. So this small snippet of ASCII.DOC content here on the left, saying with a title and a body, ends up in a lengthy JSON that I needed to cut a bit short here. But it really shows on, this is how it should look like as a grammar, right? This is how, like, locations of different columns and lines and where it starts, where it ends. So we're trying to make it really, really simple it's not simple to develop a tool, but then at least simple to test it, have some references to go against and test cases for those tool developers. So this is at the end of the talk. So I talked about ASCII.DOC, the language. I talked about ASCII.DOC, one of the implementations, the IntelliJ ASCII.DOC plugin, Antora, and lots of other videos. And the slides you see here today are here behind this QR code. There's also, I think we heard in the previous talk, they were talking about how to document something with somebody who is writing a tool. This is what I try to do in this technical writing. Here, if you enter this page, you will go to a 12-step guide how to set up IntelliJ as a technical writer who might not yet know about IntelliJ, starting with how to install it, how to install the right plugins, how to get familiar with ASCII.DOC, how to customize your project that you have a good experience to collaborate with others. So all the content is free online, and please contribute. I also recorded like 60 minutes video, which are on Udemy. So if you want to get a free ticket on that, just let me know. So that's it. Thanks a lot.